The new book, 400 Souls, is a unique one-volume community history of African Americans. The editors, Ibram Kendi and Keisha Blaine, have assembled 90 brilliant writers, each of whom takes on a five-year period of that 400-year span. The writers explore their periods through a variety of techniques, historical essays, short stories, personal vignettes, and fiery polemics. They approach history from various perspectives, through the eyes of towering historical icons or the untold stories of ordinary people, through places, laws, and objects. The book is edited by two award-winning historians. Ibram Kendi is the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, How to Be an Anti-Racist, and the National Book Award winning Stamped from the Beginning. Keisha Blaine is an editor for the Washington Post's Made by History section and the author of Set the World on Fire, Black Nationalist Women and the Global Struggle for Freedom. Again, the name of the book is 400 Souls, a Community History of African America, 1619 to 2019, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Professors Ibram Kendi and Keisha Blaine to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What an honor to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
Ibram, let's begin with you as to how this project came about of wanting to tell this huge history, 1619 to 2019.
Well, as in 2018, as 2019 approached, which of course was going to be the 400th, what we call symbolic birthday of Black Americans in this land, you know, I was thinking of a way to really commemorate this historic moment. And of course, being an historian, I was drawn to writing a history book, but I didn't want to write just another history, you know, of Black Americans. And so I thought, well, what if we bring together a community of writers to write a history of a, you know, of a community? What if we asked 80 writers to each tackle 5 years of African-American history in short pieces, which would then amount to 400 years? And what if we asked 10 poets to put together poems based on 40 years of African-American history? And so it was just an idea, and I contacted Professor Blaine to gauge her interest, and somehow, some way, she agreed to try to move this mountain with me.
Keisha, what was it like to bring this cast together?
It was exciting, certainly difficult. As you can imagine, it's hard to get 10 people together for a project, let alone 90. So it was certainly difficult and required a bit of organizing and planning ahead of time. But it really was, I think, an exciting experience because we had an opportunity to pull together writers who we deeply admired from a wide range of disciplines, including historians and journalists and activists and novelists, and to ask them to grapple with this history and to give them some space and flexibility to be creative in how they approach the work. And so difficult, certainly, given how huge the project is, but absolutely exciting, and I'm so thrilled it came together.
Ibram, you write in the introduction to the book, the community is a remarkable sampling of historians, journalists, activists, philosophers, novelists, political analysts, lawyers, anthropologists, curators, theologians, sociologists, essayists, economists, educators, poets, and cultural critics. And you go on to say that the writing community includes Black people who identify or are identified as women and men, cisgender and transgender, younger and older, straight and queer, dark-skinned and light-skinned. The writers are immigrants or descendants of immigrants from Africa and the African diaspora. The writers are descendants of enslaved people in the United States. Why was that so important to you?
Well, one of the oldest racist ideas is this idea of Black folks as a monolith, as opposed to an incredibly diverse and complex community with many different types of people. And oftentimes when you have a single writer coming from a single sort of identity or vantage point, or not identity, but a single vantage point, they're oftentimes going to highlight or standardize that vantage point. So oftentimes African American history has been written by men, by cisgender, heterosexual black men. And so obviously, in many cases, if they're writing the history from those lens, then they're leaving out a large segment of the black community. And so we thought it, if we truly brought together a sampling of the diversity of black people, then the writing, then the narrative itself would be more reflective of this community.
Keisha, each writer, each member of the community, you divide this, so each piece revolves around a person, place, thing, idea, or event, and then is summed up, if you will, by one of the 10 poets. Talk about that process of finding the right voice for that time that they were writing about.
So one of the things that we did very early in the process was to just identify the writers who we thought would be good to ask to write about specific topics, even if it meant asking them to explore an earlier period of history that they did not necessarily write about. So, for example, one of the things that we did was reach out to folks who might write about the contemporary moment. So someone like KSA Lehman, we asked him to write about cotton, and we asked him to focus on a very early period of the history. And he doesn't normally write about, the 18th century or anything, but it was important nonetheless to ask him to grapple with the topic, to really connect it to, I think, his own personal narrative, which he did in a remarkable way. So it was about connecting writers to topics, to themes, to individuals, to key historical developments that would allow them to draw upon their expertise and their knowledge, but oftentimes to do so in a period of time that was different for them. So we gave them room and flexibility, but they also had to stretch a little and be creative and do, some sort of analysis or, writing that, ultimately got them to try something new. And so that was one way to approach it. And as it pertains to the poets, we tried to find poets who we thought would really be able to pull together the core themes of each section and allow those themes to shine. And I think we did a great job at identifying just 10 brilliant poets to do the work.
Absolutely. And it goes so much to the power of poetry, too. You write in the introduction, Professor Kendi, that why not have a community of women and men chronicling the history of a community? Why not a black choir singing the spiritual into the heavens of history? 400 Souls, A Community History of Black America, 1619 to 2019, is that community choir for this historic moment. Talk a little bit about this historic moment.
Well, first and foremost, I mean, I think the reason why I try to classify this group of writers and 400 souls as like a choir is because in the black community, the black church historically has been at the center, and the sound of that black church has typically been the choir, which is made up of a cross section, of the community. And I think this is a moment in time in which black folks are really striving and pressing for full freedom, for full citizenship, and we not only have been able to use our voting power to elect black folks and even non-black folks who are committed to an anti-racist society, to positions of power, but even everyday people joined demonstrations, encouraged other folks to join demonstrations last year in the largest potentially series of demonstrations in American history. And those demonstrations were largely against anti-black racism and police brutality. And so I think, this is a pivotal moment for black Americans. And I think many folks are trying to understand why. the need to understand why, or the drive to understand why, is really a drive to understand African American history. And so that's why we're so glad to be able to deliver 400 souls.
Professor Kendi, what did you learn in this process, in the sense of having these 400 souls together in this community and listening to this choir, and through this vast history of, given your knowledge of the subject, your significant knowledge of the subject, of what you learn through a process like this?
I mean, it's fascinating. You know, Professor Blaine and I, you know, we've dedicated our careers to researching and writing on Black American history and really the Black world, particularly in Keisha's case. And I've learned so much from these pieces, and not just the stories of the past, but how different five-year periods related to the current moment. And so something as simple as, there was a piece written on, I mean, Martha Jones's piece written on the American Revolution. And she writes about Mumbet, who was a Black woman who sued for freedom in the mid-1770s. And that suit was critical in Massachusetts, of course, it's where I live, standing up and becoming one of the first states to emancipate, you know, Black people. And I think it's just one example of the stories we had of ordinary people who set the course of American history in 400 souls.
And Professor Blaine, let me ask you the same question of what you learn through a process like this.
Well, I think in a similar way, it became clear, and perhaps certainly I think this is true as we were reading the pieces and finishing the project, given all that was taking place in the United States, and what comes to mind immediately, of course, is COVID-19. And one of the essays in the book, written by Harriet Washington, who is an expert on race and medicine, she tells the life story and the influence of a doctor by the name of James McCoon Smith, the first African-American to obtain a medical degree. And one of the things that's so clear when you read Dr. Smith's sort of experiences and the way that he was trying to navigate the 19th century and trying to push back against all of these assumptions about Black people, you see how medical racism unfolds in that period, and you think about the health disparities. You think about the disparities as it pertains to access to quality health care, which of course contributed to the outcome as it related to COVID-19 and so many Black people contracting the virus and dying from it at a rate much higher than other racial groups. And so what becomes clear through the telling of the history is certainly how we got to this moment. And all of these threads, I think, come through the text. And it, for me, was so important to reflect on that as a historian, certainly, but just really within the context of living in the United States. And it was important to be reminded that everything we were experiencing, even in 2020 with COVID-19 and the challenges, that all of this is connected to a longer history.
You write in your conclusion, Keisha, you start off by saying there's a saying that has circulated in Black communities for decades, "I am my ancestors' wildest dreams." You go on further later in the conclusion of saying, "Together, despite the odds, we have made it this far. The powerful essays and poetries in 400 Souls are a testament to how much we have overcome and how we have managed to do it together, despite our differences and diverse perspectives. Yet I am not convinced we are our ancestors' wildest dreams, at least not yet." Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, I think one of the, well, so many things went through my mind as I was writing this conclusion and of course, doing so at a very turbulent moment in our nation's history. And I started to ask myself started to just imagine what my ancestors, wanted for themselves and also wanted for me. And I recognize that on the one hand, it was important to acknowledge the gains. I can certainly talk about certain accomplishments on a personal level, which I think are wonderful, and I'm sure they would have celebrated all that I have accomplished as an individual and all that we have accomplished, I think, as Black people in this country. But I thought it was also important to recognize that we don't quite have the full freedom that I think our ancestors desired. Yes, we have greater access to education, and yes, there are all of these areas of society where we've experienced progress, but we've also had some serious setbacks. And we have still, I think, a long fight ahead. So for me, it was recognizing the gains, but not ending on this note of celebration without a recognition that we still have so much work to do to really create the vision, to see the vision of the inclusive democracy become a reality. And that's what I wanted to convey in that conclusion.
Professor Kennedy, you spoke a moment ago about being, when I was asking you about what surprises you and as you look at this history, and you said about sometimes the difference that 5 years can make. So looking forward, do you have a sense of where we are headed, of what those 5 years ahead of us could look like, especially given our knowledge and even with the assistance of a major tome of history like this?
Well, according to recent polling data, there is a pretty sizable number of Americans who are now aware of the existence of systemic racism. And so the question that's going to me, determine the next 5 years, if not the next 50 years, is will those Americans be willing to support the types of policies that Black folks and others are going to push to eliminate systemic racism? And so, you know, there was obviously a groundswell of demonstrations last year. And so in the next 5 years, those demonstrations are going to enter through the bodies of people who are being empowered into the halls of power. And there's going to be efforts to eliminate voter suppression. There's going to be an effort to reduce, if not eliminate, the growing racial wealth gap and housing and food insecurity, and obviously really take a massive accounting of our public health system, which has led to so many Black and Brown and Indigenous people dying disproportionately from COVID-19. And so to me, that's what's, you know, going to determine, are we going to be willing to support the types of policies that can create an equitable, just country? Because there was a time, as Michael Harriet writes in his essay on Reconstruction, that we had an opportunity to create the type of America that many claim they want to see. And so will we use this opportunity now?
The one point that I realized that we haven't really discussed, and you do talk about it in the book, and Professor Blaine, let me ask you about this, is that you, by bringing this community together, you're looking at the history, but these pieces are contemporary in the sense they were written within the last year or two.
Exactly. And in fact, that's one of the things that we were reflecting on when we put the project together. We certainly wanted to reflect on the 400-year history, but we were thinking about the future in the sense that, you know, what would future historians, if future historians were writing about, you know, 2018 to really 2020 or even 2021, you know, what text would they turn to get a sense of what Black writers, Black intellectuals, you know, were thinking about in that particular moment? How did we grapple with the Trump presidency? How did we grapple with the challenges of COVID-19? How did we interpret the uprisings? This text, 400 Souls, ultimately is one answer, and it brings together all of these voices to first look back at the past, but also to contextualize the present, and then to even look toward the future. And so in this way, I think that is one aspect of the book that's remarkable, is that it is a book about history, but in and of itself, it is history.
I'm curious, I guess, of how you see people using the book, of how you see people of reading it from start to finish, or dipping in, dipping out, of how you see people interacting with the volume that you have created.
Well, let me just say, I think first, there has been so many incredible single volume histories of African America that have been written and that are available right now to readers. But for many different reasons, many Americans still have never read a single volume sweeping history of Black folks from the time they arrived in 1619, when we was their first arrival date, even though Black folks existed before then, to the contemporary moment. And so in many ways, I think this book is going to be an introduction to many Americans, and maybe their first time they read the complete history of Black folks, on this land. And so what I'm hoping is that, like any introduction, it'll cause them to learn more. And the beauty is that these 90 writers, these 90 contributors, almost all of them have come out with books on topics that they wrote about or on other topics. Almost all of them have writings that then people could find, learn more about African American history, or about a specific person that they wrote about or a topic, they could then learn more about that topic. I'm just hoping that it really opens the doors for people to just gain a much better appreciation and knowledge of their neighbors, if not themselves.
The name of the book is 400 Souls, A Community History of African America, 1619 to 2019. It is edited by Ibram Kendi and Keisha Blame. I thank you both for being with us. What a great pleasure and honor to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
A great pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book, 400 Souls, A Community History of African America, 1619 to 2019. The book is published by One World. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.